here today amongst us. Father, may your peace reign. Let it settle on each and every one of us. May our hearts be filled with joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Got a few real quick announcements. Today's War on the Floor. If you have a prayer request, make sure our usher gets it. If you haven't already put it in here. Also, we have men's breakfast coming up this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Whistle Stop Cafe in Galleon. If you need any more information, see Phil. And mark your calendars for August 15th for the picnic. Now, we need you to RSVP by next Sunday. This is important because we need to know how much chicken to get. Otherwise, I eat chicken for 2 weeks. Are you hearing me? And the sign-up sheets are back there, yes. And also, if you'd like to be water baptized, you can let Angela or myself know about that. And also, we did finally hear from Jesse. He told us that quarantine sucked. He said, we got up at 06. We went and ate an awful breakfast. Even the drill instructor, their RDC, said it was awful by comparison. He said, it's worse than boot camp food. And they wiped down the entire room with bleach, sat in a chair for the next umpteen hours, and in 2 weeks he had an hour and a half outside. Yeah, sounds like psychological torture to me, but you need to be praying for all of our troops dealing with this. They are doing this across the board. I've heard of active duty Marines being given a Milky Way for their meal for the day and told if they didn't like it, that's what they signed up for. So that's not what they signed up for. Also, his address, by the way, is on the back if you would like to write him. That address will change after he graduates from boot camp. So after September 11th, don't write him that one. He won't get it for a long time. So let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you're the King of kings and you're the Lord of lords. Father, you're the King of variants. You're the King of everything, Father, and it has a name and it has to bow to you. Now, Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, your promise, that may 1,000 fall at our left and 10,000 by our right. Nothing shall harm us. Father, I thank you and praise you for the love and the protection, your kindness that you bestowed upon us. And we offer you today our tithe and offering. Lord, I bless it according to your word. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will the blessings be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. So we had an exciting week as far as the building is concerned. The air conditioning unit that will take care of the next section over actually fired up. I was tickled. I have to tell everybody. I didn't realize I set that there in 2013. That's been sitting there that long. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, please let it start. Better yet, please, because it's three-phase. And I said, please let it start right, because it had to be balanced according to what they balanced it. So, praise God, I got it right on the first shot. But it cools. Ductwork will be in this week, so hopefully we'll be getting some cool air in there this week in that hallway and some of those rooms there, and then we can keep working. And believe it or not, we're getting a nursery together. It's painted. We just got to put ductwork, ceiling trims, and yes, and there's room. These little guys got a lot of pent-up. If you want, here, let me help you out. If you're sitting here all butt hurt because the kids are getting a little fussy, this is their playtime. They are at home 6 days a week. They are cranked. This is playtime or nap time, and they aren't going to take a nap with all these kids around. That's all there is to it. So we do our best. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue on prayer about prayer today. It'll wrap up, and it's what an appropriate day for it to wrap up on is war on the floor. You know, we're seeing lots of things happening in the world right now. You know, I hate to tell you, we're going to see a lot more. You're going to see a lot more stuff happening, and if you don't know how to pray, you better start learning how real quick. You didn't know how to talk when you were little either, and then all of a sudden you heard other people talking, and then you started talking. So that's how you pray. When you hear other people praying, whoever you take after, whoever somebody you admire or whatever, and that's somebody that just made that connection with you, that's probably how you'll pray, just like them. But when we pray, we need to remember some things. We've already talked about the who. We pray primarily to God. Okay, Jesus, again, he said you pray to God. Not that it's wrong that you'd pray to Jesus. You can praise Jesus. I do it all the time. I cried out to Jesus. More than just when I gave my heart to him. The what. We know what about. We can pray for things that we need, but we don't need to focus on the things we need. Oh, by the way, when you're praying for things that you see that need to be changed, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute, there's some things you're going to need to understand. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag on there. But we can be praying for our leaders. You know, it does not matter if we voted for them or not. They are still, unfortunately, in that case, our leaders. These justices, we need to be praying for these people, whether you like them or not, because they're the ones that are creating policies and they're calling shots and they're doing all kinds of things right now and have been because God's people quit praying for them. We'd rather pray about them. When can we pray? Well, we learned last week. Well, David said morning, noon, and night, I will pray. Okay, that's great. That's actually a lot more prayer. Now, we're not talking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're talking prayer. You do realize that when you read the Lord's Prayer, if we're to pray, he blessed the food once. Give us this day our daily bread. You should always eat with gratitude. You know, that was one of the things in the letter we actually got from Jesse. We heard from him on the phone. They actually got a call, which is totally shocking to me. Couldn't hear squat because their phone, I know they put the garbage phones that they can at those bases. And anyhow, he's trying to talk to us, but was able to read in the letter. And one down the bottom, he says, Mom and Dad, thank you for never letting us go hungry. We think they're only getting breakfast when they're in quarantine. I'm telling you, psychological torture is what it is. They're getting one meal, and they have to sit in a chair facing other people. And anyhow, so he's like, thank you for never letting me go hungry. When you thank God for your food, be grateful when you eat it. There are some people, they won't eat a candy bar unless they've said the Lord's Prayer three times and 10 Hail Marys. That's not gratitude, that's religion. Okay? So we can pray at any time. Paul told us, he said, pray without ceasing. Now, not only I believe that was as much a command within the church that somebody should be praying, and I got a feeling there is somebody praying about any time. But we can pray at any time. No matter what you're doing, you can stop and pray. Well, I don't know what to say. Open your mouth. Nothing's going to come out until you open your mouth. You have to let that stuff out of there. You can't hold back. Well, I don't know how to pray. What if God thinks I'm stupid? I'll refrain from commenting any further on that one, because you're the only one that thinks she sounds stupid. Do you know I hate to hear the sound of my voice on recordings? I despise it. I'm like, that is not me. That is not how I sound. Oh, yes, it is. But God hears his child. You know, when I hear Carter and Harper, you know, when they're yammering around talking, I can hear their voices. And it just does good things for me, even though I don't understand a 16th of what they're saying. It just does my heart good to hear that. And as you know, as their voices develop and then they start putting them to words, you really start getting an appreciation for it. And you know, Carter, he's not real vocal yet. He does say some words, but I'm going to tell you right now, the boy does know some sign language. He was doing that to me, to himself. I love you. It does so good. Right now, that's his voice. His other grandma has taught him some of that stuff, which is great, because maybe the kid will be able to reach out and help somebody who's deaf, mute. But we know to be able to pray anytime, and God is not asleep. Don't worry about, well, God might not be up. God never sleeps. He doesn't close his eyes and say, well, I'm going to forget Caleb for a while. Get that boy off my mind. Man, do you know what I had to do to keep him alive when he's a kid? I've heard some of his stories. He's told me. I'm like, well, thank you, Jesus. But don't worry about not being able to word it eloquently. About the time you think you're the most eloquent prayer, you'll say stupid stuff like that. Don't worry about it. You just pray. Okay? Now we're going to talk about where. Where can I pray? Well, you know, there's a lot of believers, they think they need to be seen. Well, we got to get together as one and pray. I'm going to just tell y'all something. I've only been to one of the prayer days. One. The National Day of Prayer, I've only been to one. I wish them all the best, but the time I went, I knocked off work, ran as fast as I could to get there, so I had to listen to 3 poems and 2 exhortations, and then a school band play a few songs, and then we prayed for 10 minutes. I could have prayed for an hour on the job, which I did regularly. And I say that because we're more about the show of prayer than we are actually praying. We want people to know we're praying. We got to try to make sure that we're so loud in the restaurant. Keep it to a normal conversational tone. Please, you're only embarrassing yourself. I hate to say it like that. I mean, I've seen people do it. And I was embarrassed for them. And I'll tell you why it's some of this. We were talking about earlier about, remember Jesus was talking about the 2 men that went into the temple to pray? And the Pharisee stood up and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men and all this. And he's standing there before God in the temple. The other man wouldn't even really go in. He just stood out there and he just beat his heart and he said, God, I'm sorry. Be merciful to me, a sinner. But the other man had to make sure he was boasting about who he was, what he's done. You don't need to tell God what you did. He was there. And he's probably the one who told you to do it. He's just grateful you obeyed him for once. So where? Luke chapter 22, 39. Where can you pray? Well, we all hear, you got to go to your prayer closet. Go to the secret place. David wrote something and it's become a phenomenon. A secret place. My secret place is in here. I don't go to a closet. After the connotation of the term, just as soon not go in one. I'm going to stay out where I need to be. You got to be prostrate on the floor. Prostrate. I knew I'd say that wrong. Flat. How about we say that? That's humbling. You've got to humble yourself before the Lord. Humbling is not on your knees. You can be arrogant and defiant on your knees. I have to, while I've actually learned a lot more about the Alamo and some truths that have come out about the Alamo, the one that had Billy Bob Thornton in it. Y'all, did anybody else see that one? I thought it was actually, of all the movies about the Alamo, that was probably the best. But he was defiant on his knees. He wasn't humbled. And we go to God like that. We think, well, God, I'm in my prayer closet and I'm in my special place. I'm in my prayer shawl. So what? I don't care if you had your bath towel wrapped around you. Let's look at what Jesus did. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples followed him. He would go whenever he was near the mountain. He would go to this mountain. The next verse, chapter 6 and verse 12 of Luke. And now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and called all night and continued all night in prayer to God. Folks, we have got to remember, this is where Jesus felt closest to God. It was his special place. He wasn't crawling in a cave or a hole to pray. This was some place that he felt close to his Father. And when he'd go there, he could pray. Now, you know, we hear, well, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? We went to, y'all freak out about some things here, but you're about to freak out. It was a cemetery. No, Jesus wasn't a goth. Their gardens were cemeteries. They planted them. They had olive trees. They had plantings all over them. But it was also where they buried their dead. He wasn't there praying to the ancestors. Oh, ancestor of Joseph, my stepfather, would you please go to God and take a message to my brothers? By the way, there's people. I heard a preacher tell one time that if you pray to Jesus, he'll take a message to your ancestors that have passed on, that he would do that. Jesus ain't Western Union, folks. That's garbage. And the person he told it to is so screwed up in the head now about God that it's ridiculous. And there's no pulling them back. Because this person told me. That person lied. It's not in the Word. Now, so they'd go to, Jesus would go to the mountains, the Garden of Gethsemane. He found some place that was peaceful. You know, I often wondered in the beginning, like, God, why was it seemed like the monks of olden days, they would have gardens. They had these gardens. They would tend to the gardens. Well, the gardens are oftentimes a quiet place of solitude. I will tell you that you kind of sometimes need a place of solitude. But you can also pray when the world is falling apart around you. And you can't leave. You can't get out of it. You just got to stop and find the peace within you, the peace of God. Not get there and clear your mind. Get down there and cross your legs and hold your fingers in some weird. That ain't nothing. Okay, that's transcendental meditation. That's the crap that John Lennon and the Beatles got into. See how it did them good. It opened their minds up to all kinds of demonic garbage, and they went south. Even though they didn't profess Jesus Christ and they still thought they were better, once they got into that stuff, they started fighting. You're not going to find peace and trying to quiet everything. You've got to shut yourself and say, I'm stopping for a minute, Lord. I know what's going on beside me. I know there's 1,000 falling at my right. I know there's 10,000 at my right and 1,000 at my left. But none of this shall harm me, is what he said. David found that peace within him in the middle of combat. Do you understand? That's what he's talking about. That's why we sent these things all over the world, or Iraq and Afghanistan, particularly for our military, with Psalm 91 on them. And he shall hide me in the presence of his wings. Again, it's a metaphor. I don't know that God has wings. We were created in his image. Has anybody got wings? I don't. I kind of think it would be kind of cool. But we don't have wings. David, again, was giving a metaphor that I believe a lot of people have taken and blown it apart. The angels we know have wings in their other form. When we see them, they're in the form of men. The other one would just freak some of you out. Read Ezekiel. They had four faces. Go and read the description of the temple. They were 14 feet tall. These are supposed to be life-size replicas of the angels, and they had faces of weird things to us. When we pray, find you a place. If you need a particular place, go on a walk. You know, when I had my bike, one of the things I would have to do, and it did actually help me quite a few times. Things were just kind of a little crazy. Well, I knew one place that I could get solitude, and nobody could talk to me on my cell phone. I couldn't turn the radio on, and all I could hear was the wind going around my head, besides those extremely loud pipes. And I could go pray. I could talk to God. While you still had to focus on driving. I can do that in my, well, I can't do it in my sleep. I didn't have to think. All I had to do was drive. And when you can do something like that and you can get away and pray, God can speak into your heart, because the only thing you're focused on is driving, especially a motorcycle. You're driving offensive and defensive at all times. Most people don't. Most people drive offensively today. I tell my boys, drive defensively, preferably. If you're going to choose one or the other, expect that guy to pull out in front of you. Be ready, because he's going to. I could pray and God could speak to me and he could calm me down. He could tell me things. He could show me where I was wrong, because I wasn't influenced by anything else at that time. You know, when I was a kid, there was a Gaither Vocal Band. You don't hear much about them today. Some of us has been around a while may know who they are. Bill Gaither and I believe actually Mark Lowry was a part of that at one time. But they did a kids album. And it was really good. I mean, I was 10 years old. My parents were baby Christians. They're starting to learn. They're trying to get their kids to learn a little bit about God. But there was this one song. It was called, God Likes to Talk to Little Boys While They're Fishing. In the next 2 years, I'd spent so much time fishing with my uncle. Unfortunately, I was babysitting him as I was 6 years older. And it was just a time that I always remembered that. So when I'm fishing, and you know, fish ain't biting, I'm just trying, sometimes just, okay, Lord, they ain't biting. How about we talk? And you know, and sometimes, let's talk about your prayer too. When you want to talk to God and pray, you pray. If you want to get to know God, talk to God. Just like I'm talking to my wife. Talk to him. You don't have to ask him how his day's going, by the way, because he's not going to ask you how yours is. But I ask God questions all the time. God, I got a question. And he will talk to you. But you got to zip the lips from time to time to hear the answer. If you ask a question, it is actually impolite not to shut your mouth. You ask a question, don't tell them what you think 5 seconds after you ask the question. Listen to what's coming out. You may have an idea, and that's what I have found. I've got an idea of how something should work, but when I ask somebody who knows a little better, I find out there were details I didn't know. And I missed those details. And the details do matter, folks. They may not matter I sent out the message last night on Facebook to pray for Miss Sherry. We didn't need to know a ton of details. That's why I left it like that. That's all the information I had. Because it doesn't matter to God. We think, well, I got to have all the information before I can pray. No, you don't. Father, heal her heart. Boom. Which, those of you that don't know, she is doing better. They got a balloon in her heart right now, and they are going to put in a stent either today or tomorrow, and they will be sending her home. So, but she had 100% blockage in one aorta, so that'll do bad things to you. You know, we also have got to be able to compose ourselves to pray sometimes. I'll say this, you know, Harold won't care. But when he called me, I had to call him back as I was in the shower. And I spoke to him. Folks, you know, Phil and I were talking about him this morning. He was a grunt in Vietnam. I mean, he was in the stinking bush. The stuff, and I know some of his past. His home life was, there's a lot of death, okay? He has seen a lot of death. Some of you don't know, he just got cancer free. They've been telling him he's going to die. He's cancer free. So for a man who has seen all that, to tell me his wife had a heart attack. I could hear his voice was cracked up, and then I could hear he broke for a second. He was trying everything within him to compose himself. He didn't want to lose her. So bless God, that gave me the courage to overcome the thoughts in my head and pray for him. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we got done, he was great. And I called him a few minutes later to get something else, and then I called him this morning, and totally different. So you need to sometimes, and I tell you this because I'm telling you, you're not always going to be able to call the backup. You can't call the cavalry all the time. Sometimes you are the cavalry. You are it. You are SEAL Team 6. And you've got to get in there and you've got to do what you've got to do. Now, where am I at? Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." The house of prayer is from Isaiah, and the den of thieves is from Jeremiah. But folks, you know where we're at today? We're in a house of prayer. We are in a house of prayer. Back then, most of you know the story, they had brought money changers, they brought in people selling offerings, because people sometimes couldn't always travel with their dove. The dove dies before you get there, and God's not going to take a dead dove. And so they had all that stuff, but they were overpricing everything. They were stealing from God's people. And Jesus went in and cleaned it up twice. Now you need to understand something. That's why you don't see tapes. You want a copy of something, I actually pray that you're savvy enough to download onto your devices. That's so much quicker, or you can just go online and listen to them. If you got a smartphone, go to the website, listen to it. Don't even have to download it. But we don't charge. That is my decision, okay? I'm not saying ministries that charge for tape series and stuff are wrong. We still buy them. They're still good. But there's some I just pulled completely away from because I felt they were overcharged. That's my personal opinion, okay? Told you I'd tell you when it was my opinion. But the house of God should be called a house of prayer. Not a house of this, a house of that, a house of, well, we got to be the center of the community. We're the stinking heart of the community. They don't realize it. You don't think about your heart until there's a problem, do you? I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. You know, when I was 20, man, I just did whatever I wanted to do. Ah, my heart can handle it. Nowadays, you know, it's like, okay, got to give the heart a break. And I'm kind of adapting the philosophy of your heart has so many beats. Are you going to waste them running? Something to think about. The church is a place of prayer. That's why we're here today. That's why I think it was so good that God just actually worked this all out. I thought I'd be done with this in one day. To come here and to pray. But we're ending this today on our war on the floor. Because we are taking the fight to the enemy. We're not telling him we're coming, even though he knows when the first of the month is, every month. And he's like, are you kidding me? Man, I'm going to lose another drug dealer. I'm going to lose more human traffickers. They're going to pray. And they're going to believe. Because, God, you keep moving. Oh, by the way, God's not going to incite the devil to come after you. Job was a different deal. You're under the blood. You know, we always bring up the, when we're trying to motivate people to go get, do more, be a success. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? I say, how would you pray knowing God's going to answer? Well, I don't think he cares that much about that. Listen, folks, we prayed for one time for a couple for an apartment. And God put on my heart, as I was speaking, to pray for this apartment. Details. And I began to pray those details. This young couple found that apartment and they said, guess what? Everything you prayed is what is. God moved. Well, you know, you're special. No, I'm not. I've just learned to trust God in everything. When I don't understand it, you know, Mary and Joseph didn't understand everything about Jesus. Y'all ever figure that out? Said they just stood back and took it to heart, basically. My 12-year-old boy was teaching the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple. He was teaching them. And they just stood back. Okay. The next W and the last W is, why pray? Why do we need to pray? Matthew chapter 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray to bring about the will of God on this planet. There are things that are going to be happening. People, well, that's the will of God. It is not the will of God for things to be happening the way they are. God's will was that Adam would have never sinned. But he gave us this thing that, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's just so awful. I'd rather have free choice, a free will, and love God out of my willingness as opposed to loving him because I have to. I've used this analogy before, but it's kind of like having a wife who has to love you for one reason. Her daddy made a deal with your daddy. I'd rather that she loves me and I love her as opposed to, well, you're just a baby factory. You're going to make my family's better off now, or your family's better off now. That used to be how marriages went. The whole concept of marrying for love is still very new. We even joked when Jesse proposed to Addie about the dowry of, how many goats are we up to now? Five? Eight goats or something like that? Yeah. Sheep. Oh, yeah, sheep, not goats. Yeah, we were joking about that. But that's how it was done. You transferred something of value to somebody else. And, you know, the woman either had to hope to God she loved that guy, or he wasn't going to love her. And if you think I'm kidding, look at Jacob and Leah. He didn't love Leah. He loved Rachel. But yet, custom dictated the oldest daughter got married first. And Laban said, oh no, you're going to marry her. And by the way, he didn't do it until the tent. He went into the tent, and the next morning he woke up to a surprise. For those of you that are some... I think it's in Jasher, I think it's actually the book that records about this, but that Rachel and Leah were actually twins. If you ever wondered why he didn't know the difference. My wife and her sister are so alike. They laugh alike. They do things alike. Dwayne, my brother, and I, we've talked about it. We're like, they share the same brain, and when they're together, it is just, we just can all shake our heads and walk away. But they're different build. They have different hair. There's times, like I said, their voices sound the same. They've got the same eyes. So why didn't he know the difference? Because they were twins. And you want to know why he didn't like Leah? She had a lazy eye. She had an eye that was just did whatever it wanted to do. They didn't know how to help correct it. And so it was not viewed upon as... And Laban knew he wasn't going to marry her off. He didn't love her. He loved Rachel, so he worked another 7 years. God only allowed two babies come out of Rachel's womb, but Israel started in the womb of the woman that Jacob refused to love. So love's a new concept to marriage. We bring about God's will when we pray. That's why he says, according to your will be done. See, I kept praying for a wife. I'm like, first off, it's just a girlfriend. You got to start off with boyfriend, girlfriend, right? That's always a good thing to start off on. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I'm like, Lord, I don't think I'm ugly. I might be. I might just be so conceited in myself that I might be uglier than I thought. But even that, come on. And nothing just ever seemed to work out. And I kept, for the longest time, I had my heart set on this one girl from school. She was what I thought that I wanted. Well, you know the old Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. It wasn't unanswered. He was saying no, and I wasn't listening because I thought she just was perfect. No. She was the perfect one. I kept praying, but God had to wait until I got my heart set right. And then he also had to wait until I got my butt in line with his will. Once I got there, boom, boom, boom. Not everything I did was according to God's will. I did a lot of things according to Art's will. And Art's will got me in trouble a few times. But in the end, I can tell you, God knew it was going to happen, and he knew how to bring me back into alignment with his will. He would throw up roadblocks. Oh, hey, I got to go around here. I can't get there from here. I got to go this way now. God knew when I needed to be ready, so he set this up. 4 years in the Marine Corps, and Angela and I have talked about it. At that time, the reality of it, we've come to the realization that at that time in our life, we needed to be at the church in North Carolina at that time. At that exact time is when we began to learn things. I started hearing more messages truly about forgiveness and what it was. I learned a whole lot more about trust because, you know, I've shared before, our pastor and his wife divorced shortly after we left. And some other things had happened. Some people had gotten in there and started sowing trouble and trying to take over and all that stuff, which is why I tell you, I won't put up with it. But had that happened at that time in my life, I was still shaky. I won't promise you I'd have came back too quick. Because I was still battling my own fights. But God knew that time, that window. And that's why he told us to go home. She was 6 months pregnant. Who moves 700 miles when their wife is 6 months pregnant? No job, no place to live. That week, got a job offer. House came along a little bit, a couple weeks later. You got to be obedient. And since then, I've learned to talk to God on my own as a person. Bob, if you'll bring me those prayer requests. We're going to be praying today for these things. I don't pray and hope that God hears. Oh, there they are. Sort those for me. Here, put this in it. But there's some rain. It's a good thing the wheat's in. We're living in such a time right now, folks, you need to be able to pray. Yeah, by the way, if your windows are down, you better get running. Pat, your jacket's out there. Okay. Yeah, you rode with me too many times. It ain't the first time that jacket's gotten wet. It's not pouring as hard as it sounds. It always sounds like there's a hurricane when you're inside this building. So when there is hurricane force winds, you can't hear yourself think. At least over there. I know it's going to show up at least one time. For most of you in the community know that there's a young girl who took her life this week from the Mount Gilead School District. Be praying for that family, okay? Be praying for all people involved. And he stepped out, but I'm going to tell you, be praying for Phil. He was second or third person in and he got to see it. So he is struggling a little bit. And I don't think he'll be hurt that I ask you to pray for him. I've been praying for him since Thursday, or Friday. But be praying for them. Be praying for his boss, Jim, the family, the neighbors, the school, the friends that they've lost, this young lady. Be praying for them. And continue to pray for Sherry, too. She's going to have to do some changing on some things, I think. And, she's going to need some peace in those areas as well. So...